Welcome to Science, Sound, and Spirituality with Master Teacher David Holtz. Join us weekly as we learn to dance with change and transformation. And now, here with today's program is David Holtz.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or wherever you may be in which you're listening to today's podcast. We want to welcome you to Science, Sound, and Spirituality. And we'll be talking today on a subject that I think every one of us is going to be interested in trying to discover what is the key to abundance, to prosperity. You know, wars are fought over it, horrible things are done. Because on the earth, in the ego's world, it appears that there's just so many pieces of the pie. And if you have a piece, then there's less for me. So we fight over these pieces of the pie. Now, the truth of the matter is there is no lack. The truth of the matter in the realm of consciousness is there's where more is given, the more there is. So we're going to be looking at this whole idea of what does it mean to live an abundant and prosperous life. We are so honored today and privileged to have Alan Batten with us. And I'll tell you a little bit about Alan. He has facilitated countless prosperity courses and seminars for more than 25 years. He has an extensive background in writing, producing, and directing in both commercial and non-commercial broadcasting. And he certainly, by his experience of 25 years, has the ability to communicate even the most complex concepts, but bring them in a very clear and understanding manner. He's an Emmy Award winner, as well as a co-author of Branding TV, Principles and Practices. Wow, that's quite a bio.
Thank you, David. I worked on it all my life.
Well, we're just so glad to have you today, and maybe you can help us, because a lot of us, including myself, have most of our adult life, at least, been trying to figure out what is the key to live the abundant life. And I just feel today we're going to try to be able to break this down into a way that we all can choose to live the principles of abundance in our lives. So you want to tell us a little more about yourself and what you'd like to talk about today on the podcast?
Well, David, I've known I've wanted to be a writer since I was about 3 years old, and they gave me a toy typewriter. And I have a picture of me sitting in my crib bed as a three-year-old with this toy typewriter in front of me, and I proceeded to write the great American novel. I wrote it in a language that nobody, at least of all me, could understand, but it was still fun to pretend I was a writer. And when I started teaching prosperity classes back in 1996, I started to accrue a bunch of information about how to do abundance work. There are long-running themes in all of our work, whether it's something that you would get from Esther Hicks or you get from Catherine Ponder. The themes are the same. And so I came up with seven things that you can do to increase your prosperity and your flow of abundance. And those of you who are listening may want to get a pen and paper and take some notes, so either that or, you know, finger painting, something like that will let you get the notes.
Wow. Okay. Well, we're going to try to go through those points as many as we can, maybe all of them if we can, in today's podcast. We are coming live to you today from Charlotte, North Carolina. And of course, we'll be at some point very soon, we'll be able to be available as a download. So you can rehear this or tell your friends about it if you want to share this podcast with them. We'd appreciate that. So let's begin with why were you drawn to the subject of prosperity as something to teach? There's so many subjects you could have gone toward, I'm sure.
Well, regrettably, my last name is not Trump or Rockefeller or Rothschild or anybody else imbued with society's trappings of prosperity. So I teach what I need to learn. I need to learn how to manifest prosperity and abundance. And I wanted to teach other people how to do that, because when other people succeed, I succeed too. As any teacher will be able to tell you, when the student becomes adept at what the teacher is teaching, then the teacher has done their job.
And that is so true. I mean, in my life, I've taught to learn. You know, we're both a student and a teacher at the same time in that way. Now, prosperity, of course, the first thing that's going to pop in everybody's mind is money. And it's not that we want to evade that subject, because I think that's something we all would like to have more of. But actually, prosperity, like everything else, as far as money and things and houses and cars, is an effect. So really, we have to go back to the level of what causes prosperity and where it begins with. Now, from my background, of course, with Bible, I think of a place in which it's quoted that as the soul does prosper, so shall you prosper.
And that's absolutely correct. And when we use that metaphor, we can think about the old Tin Pan Alley song, Pennies from Heaven. When it rains, pennies from heaven. And if you listen to the work of Catherine Ponder, she makes the point that there's gold dust in the air. Whether it's pennies or gold dust, if you're carrying an umbrella, what are you doing? Unless you're carrying that umbrella upside down, you are shielding yourself from the prosperity from the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So the key here is to clear the space between our ears to allow prosperity to come into our lives.
Now, I think that is a very important point that we don't want to pass over quickly. I think you understand, as I do, coming from our experience with A Course in Miracles, let's say, and that type of school of thought, that really the doing begins with the undoing.
Correct.
So we got a lot of stuff to undo, that filthy lucre, money, the root of money is evil. You know, there's a lot of things that have been early taught to us in the image of money. And I certainly was brought up in a religion in which if you were materially being blessed, you must be doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And that comes back to the old suffering idea of lack and whatever. You mentioned Catherine Ponder, and she's just very well, I think, known throughout all the communities that teach about prosperity. And I remember years ago just touching into her work, and why I brought up the undoing is the thing that I think she makes so clear is you can't receive prosperity until you've created a space.
Correct. So that's actually step number two. Step number one is make a list.
Okay.
The universe is one big copy machine. And the universe will copy what you put into it. If you put in a fuzzy list of amorphous ideas, then you're going to get back from the universe a fuzzy result. So step number one for anybody to increase their abundance is to make a detailed list of what it is they desire. And in that list, be as specific as possible and put down a time frame. So let's say that you have a credit card debt of $6,000, for instance.
Okay.
Put on your list, number one, I want to clear my credit card debt of $6,000 by December 31st, 2015. That's number one. And then number two might be, I want to pay off my car. Number three may want to be, I want to upgrade my house, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But be specific as to what you are desiring and throw away those ideas that are lurking behind you, which say, you don't deserve that. Mm. You can't have that because you are unworthy. Those are the ideas that keep getting into our way. And that's part of cleaning out the space between our ears.
I think that's great. We can almost call that sacred space.
Yes.
Within ourselves. And I think it's so fantastic to realize that. I've even had people tell me that to begin this whole process, they went home and cleaned out their closet and the basement and the attic, and they just started literally moving old things out of their life they were holding on to, because at an unconscious level, I think we are connected to holding on to old emotions, old thoughts, old beliefs, and things that are no longer serving us.
That's step number two. I like to say nature and yappy dogs abhor a vacuum.
Yeah.
So when nature sees a vacuum, as in you cleaning out your closet and making Goodwill Industries very happy with you, the nature will manifest a new wardrobe for you. If nature sees you cleaning out your garage, cleaning up your car so you can sell it, and you envisioning in your list a brand new car, then nature will start manifesting a brand new car for you. I did that easily, quickly, and without any problem when I got my new car. I just said, I'm ready for a new car, and I'm cleaning up my old car. I'm cleaning out all the stuff in it so that I can take it to the dealership, or CarMax as the case may be, and trade it in for a brand new car. I did that one Saturday morning. By Saturday afternoon, I had a new car.
There you go. I think I want to address the fact that I have pretty much lived, I guess, what you'd call a life of faith as a full-time minister, speaker, teacher. In other words, I never worked into the corporate world. I don't know what it is to always know I'm going to maybe get a salary or a retirement plan. Of course, nobody nowadays knows that, but at one time we felt a little more secure a few decades ago that if we work for somebody, that paycheck's going to be given to us. And I started out very young just trusting, and I know by experience, not by just information and knowledge and reading a book, that by living this thing of trust and believing, and one of the things that I thought we might bring up and talk about a little bit is how we often see things as our source. In other words, the job I have is my source of money, the government is my source of money, and I think we have to look beyond these objects and things.
Sure.
And look at a deeper source.
So what I put on my checks every time I write a check is the initials G-I-M-S. That stands for God is my source. It's not the Social Security Administration. It's not the administration that gives me my pensions. It's not my job. It's God is my source. And when we manifest our good, we manifest it not from anybody's bank account. We manifest it from substance. As Charles Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, always maintained, what he called the ethers, which was a new thought concept from many years ago, which is the source, will manifest what it is I need. Now, you made a good point about prosperity not being about money. A great definition of prosperity is peace of mind.
Excellent.
If I have peace of mind, it means my bank account is healthy, my body is healthy, my emotional states are healthy, everything about me is healthy because all around me I have peace of mind. And when we make it necessary to bring those worries back into our life, we lose that peace of mind.
Of course, I love that because I'm a great advocate for all things that manifest in our outer life has come from the inner life. And we're proving that. That's just not some kind of just a belief, but I think it's being proved today that over 87% of thoughts that we think, feelings and emotions that we have, end up in our life at the physical cellular level of our life manifesting.
We pray 24/7, David. 24/7. Every thought is a prayer. So what are you thinking about?
And is that what that means when it says pray without ceasing?
That's correct. Keeping your thoughts on the positive side instead of, oh, will I make it to the dry cleaners before they close? Will you look at this traffic? Oh, the kids are going to have too much homework to do. Those are all the negativity thoughts that we manifest and project. And as A Course in Miracles student knows, what we project is what we see that we don't like in ourselves.
Exactly. That's powerful. That's one of those powerful tools that I've used in my life, is to own my own power and not to change cause and effect and realize that I am a part of the cause.
And what we give away, we debit our lives for. So we're giving away our peace of mind, and we're getting back worry and woe.
Okay, let's kind of stay with this idea of first building a prosperous character, a prosperous nature within ourselves, meaning a way of thinking more positive about things, and maybe tuning or adjusting our language, which thoughts do. We get right thoughts, and we need to speak according to those thoughts. Like people will say sometimes, and I've said it too, we all have at times, said something about, let's go do this, let's go to a movie, let's go shopping, let's go. And I just don't have the money to do it. I think if we could turn that around somehow and come from a different direction, is how can I manifest the money to the desire that I have?
Instead of saying, I can't afford that, you can say, how can I afford that? And when you say, how can I afford that, you set the universe to work. You set the universe to work on the concept that it's going to bring you whatever it is that you want to afford. I was just sharing with an associate here that I had wanted a particular piece of software to work on my computer with. And every time I would see an advertisement for it, it was outside what I wanted to pay for it. So I said, how can I afford that? Well, yesterday I got notification that it was on sale for 50% off. And so I was able to afford that.
Excellent. Okay, let's go to another of the seven principles that you deal with in your classes and seminars on prosperity.
Well, when you are looking at your list, you come up with the feeling. Let's say, David, you want a vacation in Hilo, Hawaii, or Big Island, Hawaii.
So, okay, I'll take that.
So what you're going to say is, I want a vacation in the Big Island, Hawaii by December 31st, 2015. And then in a mental space, you envision what you're going to see when you're in Hawaii. What you're going to smell. You can feel the sand between the toes. You can hear the waves pounding on the shore. And what you're doing is you're manifesting the environment that is going to be yours when you are on that vacation. And you're giving the universe all that much more to work with.
I love that. I'm glad you brought that up. In fact, I'm a great fan of a lot of Greg Braden's work. And many years ago, he was sharing with us from the Essene Gospels. And he gave a wonderful example of the difference in we pray for something. So right now there's a drought going on in the West. And at that time he was teaching this, there was a drought too. I guess there's a drought a lot in the West. And he went out with somebody who was very spiritual, and they were going to pray for rain to come, to this desolate part of the country. And the guy he went with, you know, he expected to go out there and we're going to pray and we're going to do whatever. And the guy just takes off his shoes, goes and stands a while, gets quiet. Then he turns around and he said, let's go to lunch. And Greg said, he thought, well, what happened? We didn't pray for anything. So he finally asked the guy, I thought we came out here to pray for rain. He said, I didn't pray for rain, I prayed rain. And what he meant by that is he stood there and felt the mud coming through the toes and his feet, and he felt the rain coming down upon him, and he literally lived that. And it's just real interesting before our talk that I just happened to write something down. There's a scripture where it says that Jesus says, ask and it shall be given to you. And we know that Jesus probably did not speak English or actually so much Greek, but I'd like to read it to you maybe in the language that he might have spoken, which I believe he did, was Aramaic. And it says, ask without hidden motive and be surrounded by the answer. That's exactly what we're talking about, isn't it?
That's exactly it. And also in Aramaic, the famous, often misquoted part of money is the root of all evil, Aramaic for that is, instead of the love of money, it's avarice. Avarice brings all sorts of ill events.
Okay.
So when you're avarice about something, you have avarice, you have an unhealthy attachment to it.
Exactly. That is so good. That is so good. Well, we all could take this, what we're talking about today, and begin to turn our life around.
And it's easy to do, David. As a matter of fact, I've written a book. And the book is called The Prosperity Code, How to Find It and Use It for Permanent Prosperity. The Prosperity Code is available on Amazon, and you can get it as a Kindle, or a softback, or a hardback. And it's a very handy book. It's not long, but it's filled with useful tips, quotes, and affirmations.
Well, that's wonderful. And we'll announce again your book later in the broadcast. So.
And speaking of affirmations, there was a cartoon in this week's New Yorker. It has a picture of Moses standing, looking up at the clouds with the Ten Commandments in his hands, and he says, okay, God, can we have a few affirmations to counteract this negativity?
That's good. That's good. Okay, prosperity. I just think it's a subject that almost has been used so much that we've become numb to it when we hear it. And I don't want our listeners to do that, but to feel the freshness of what we're trying to bring through them today as we're speaking more from the heart than just our brain in the sense of increase, increase, increase of things and materialism. I think that's the byproduct. And I do not feel guilty that I want nice things. I don't feel guilty. I want to drive a nice car if that's what I want to do. Some people don't care what kind of car they drive. Some do. But I know I've had some challenges lately in my life in the sense of health issues. So that's become my focus. You know, whatever it is we deal with becomes the thing that speaks to us the loudest. And when you have a health issue, you realize that if you don't have health, you don't have a lot. So I've worked on being prosperous in my health by changing some of my eating habits, getting rid of certain things with excess sugars and things like that. Now, I'm not trying to be any particular label of whatever, but I want to be prosperous. Now, I want to be healthy, so I always question my motive. Why do I really want to be healthy? So I don't hurt anymore, so I don't feel sick. Or why do I want to prosper financially? And I begin to realize the bigger picture. Now, the smaller picture is about me. The body that doesn't want to feel pain.
Right.
The body that doesn't want to have disease. The body that doesn't want to have this. The body that wants to have whatever. But I realize that I have had all my life, and I think we all do, a sole purpose why we're here on this planet. I was blessed to find mine very early in life, and I realized that I want prosperity in the sense of what we're talking about, in the sense of material things, is to be able to be more accessible to fulfill that purpose. Does that make sense to you? In other words, if it comes into my heart, into my spirit, that I need to go speak to a group out in California, but they say to me, we can't afford to have you, but we love your work. And something in my heart says, this is your destiny. You're supposed to go speak to those people. And then my ego mind says, but you got to get a plane ticket, and plane tickets are high now. You got to have a hotel. You can't afford to do that. So it's kind of the little devil angel thing on the shoulders like that. But I've learned that if I follow the passion of my heart and of my spirit, that the universe is going to take care of everything. And I could give you testimony after testimony of going to situations that looked like I was going to get nothing financially and ended up with some of the greatest blessings out of one or two people. So it's just amazing how the universe works with us in that way.
And that's shown every month in Unity's Daily Word. When you look at the letters to the editor in Daily Word, you'll see testimony after testimony of how prayer has worked. So that's something that we can look at as far as abundance is concerned, the power of prayer.
All right. This is great. We're so glad to have Alan Batten with us, and we're talking about abundance and prosperity today. We're going to break for just a little word from our sponsor, and we'll be right back. Don't go away. And we'll continue our conversation.
We'll return to today's edition of Science, Sound, and Spirituality with David Holtz after this word from our sponsor, Soma Energetics.
Soma Energetics is a series of sound therapy techniques developed by certified master sound therapy teacher David Holtz at the turn of the century. Utilizing the power of the ancient frequencies via our custom-made solfeggio tuning forks. Soma Energetics offers training in live workshops or via DVD home study courses. Course materials include color solfeggio tuning forks in the form of energy tuners and body tuners, and they are available exclusively from Soma Energetics. At SomaEnergetics.com, you'll have the finest tools in energy healing and sound therapy at your fingertips. So take a moment to visit this very informative website and be sure and check out the combo packages for the best deals. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 980-949-8921. Remember, visit www.SomaEnergetics.com to experience the power of sound therapy.
And now we return to today's topic on science, sound, and spirituality. Here's Master Teacher David Holtz.
Welcome back to Science, Sound, and Spirituality. And we've just been in a conversation with our guest today, Alan Batten, author of the book, The Prosperity Code, which you can find on Amazon.com. So be sure and check it out. It's an easy book. I don't know about you, but I like easy books on big subjects. It makes it a lot easier to get through it because we're all bombarded with information and books to get to. So,
and there's a nice bibliography in case there's other areas that you want to explore.
All right. So we've been talking about some of Alan's seminars and teachings that he does based upon certain principles and keys to prosperity. We basically, if you're just tuning in with us, I've just laid the foundation pretty much that doing prosperity begins with undoing a belief in lack. So you have to do and get rid of the belief in lack. And we talked about this whole idea that there's only so many pieces of the pie, and if you get a piece, I get less. And if you stop and think about that, that's behind most wars that has gone on, whether it's over oil or water or land. People feel like if you take something, you took something from them. And the real truth is that what we call source, universe, God, whatever you choose to call it, is inexhaustible, that there is always an ability to create more. But I think the key to receiving is in giving. Can you talk about that for us?
Well, when we give, we are activating the law of giving and receiving. And that is an age-old law. The ancient Jewish society knew it so well. And as a matter of everyday course, they routinely gave 10% of their grain, and they even allowed people to give 20%, 30%, or even 40%. A gentleman by the name of J.C. Penney found that to be the case. He, when he first went into business, he gave 10% of his income from his little dry goods store, which grew to 20%, grew to 30%. A gentleman by the name of J.W. Marriott, who believed in tithing, now currently gives 40%. There is the internationally known company, which manufactures a breakfast product, and I will not name it because they do not want to be named, but they routinely give up to 45% of their annual income with the proviso that nobody tell anybody about where it came from.
I want to talk about this tithing thing. It's a touchy subject in just a moment. First, I'd like to offer our audience who's listening to us live right now to be able to give us a call, if they'd like to, at 888-627-6008. Again, that is 888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from you if you have any comments or any questions to do. So tithing. I know I was raised in a strict church who believed in tithing based upon, of course, the famous quote in Malachi and the Old Testament.
Yes, if you bring the entire tithe to me, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you will not be able to receive it all.
That's it. That's it. Now, the thing about that scripture that nobody's ever talked about is, why do I want to receive a blessing? I can't retain it. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
But anyway, because of that, and because a lot of people do not believe we're any longer under the laws, because that's controversial when we have about over 613 or so laws containing the Old Testament, from everything from not eat shrimp to not wear certain mixture of materials and all that kind of stuff, that people have kind of moved away from, even in more New Testament type churches, that all of a sudden we reach back and we grab tithing because it's not mentioned in the New Testament. But what I wanted to discuss is tithing goes way bigger than as a religious type of ceremony or whatever you call it, a thing to do. I don't think it's just that. I think corporations, as you've said, has proved it's successful. Now, I was raised with parents that were totally committed to tithing, and they did not make a lot of money, but I watched every week that tithe money go into a little drawer that they kept for tithing, and I watched them be very blessed from that. So there's some principle is what I'm getting to.
Yes.
It's not just a religious principle, but it is a principle of life, of the universe itself.
It's a law. It's not just a good idea. It's a law.
Divine law, yeah.
Yeah. So that happens time after time in the classes that I facilitate. When somebody decides that they're going to do an experiment, and for 6 or 10 weeks, the length of the class, they decide they're going to tithe, they receive amazing results. One person that comes to mind needed a new car, and she started to tithe, and she all of a sudden had more money in her account than she used to have before she started tithing. But still, she was tithing a certain amount of money, which she thought at the before she started would be substantial. Turned out that she not only had enough money, but she also received a new car. And she knows that tithing works. We have example after example of people that know the tithing work. I was introduced to the principle of tithing by the work of a young lady by the name of Edwene Gaines. Edwene Gaines is from Northern Alabama, a very nice, wonderful Southern lady who is funnier than all get out and knows all about tithing. And so she came to the group that I was at, and she talked about tithing. At the time, I was between opportunities, as they say, between engagements. And I opened up my checkbook and had $67.50 in it. So I said, oh, how am I going to afford this? Well, she was so persuasive, I decided I would go ahead and do it and wrote a check for $6.76 and started tithing from that. And from that, it kept building and building and building until I am in a place where I'm very comfortable and I'm still writing my tithe checks with God is my source on the bottom of it.
That's great. I wanted to address something that I think is important. We have to be careful in the subtleness of our ego mind, the way it thinks, because it's subtle sometimes. And I want to talk a little bit about we tend to sabotage our prosperity in many ways through judgment. And I want to give an example. If you see someone succeeding and doing well, and you secretly envy them for it, and because we think that if they win, we lose. The truth of the matter is absolutely opposite of that. If you judge their success, then you are placing yourself in a position of lack because right. The subconscious mind reads that you don't like success. In other words, if you don't like someone else having success, the subconscious says this person doesn't like success, so I won't give them success. I don't want to give them what they don't like.
And the universe acts very big on what we don't like because it has trouble differentiating between what we do like and what we don't like until we are totally committed to our thinking of way saying, I'm thinking positive. I bless Mary Smith or Tom Havener or Jane Doe as to their success, and I wish them nothing more than success because they are a child of God just like I am.
Important point, because what I said is the subconscious mind doesn't see a difference in us at the deepest level. You know, this whole new spirituality in the form of quantum thinking and unified field, I think is so powerful that if we keep following things, as things make smaller things, make smaller things, make smaller things, we run out of things, and we just end up in this field of all possibility.
Yeah.
And so at that point, I'm you and you're me in the state of possibility. So if I'm envying you, then I'm telling something about myself in that too.
You're projecting your so-called shortcomings, which is only a mirror of your mind, and you're projecting it on me, and I'm not doing anything to engender it. You're just projecting it, and I'm not saying that you're doing it now, but I'm just saying that that's how it happens.
So on the other side of that coin, on the other hand, if you see someone else succeeding and you bless it and you're happy for them that they've been so blessed with, say, prosperity or a healing or something like that, and that's really the way you feel, then the universe also sees that as something that you love and are a part of, not separate from, and you begin to receive the blessing also. So let's talk again. I'm more interested in, I know you do a series of workshops. How long is a course run for you?
Typically 10 to 12 weeks, sometimes 14 weeks.
Okay.
When I do a prepared workshop such as Mary Morrissey's Prosperity Way of Life class, that's a 14-week class,
okay,
where she provides DVDs of lectures and then we have class discussion. But part of the class, and a very important part of the class, is prayer. After we do the written work, then we also go around and we pray for each other. Like for instance, I'll say that I want to have a new roommate or something like that. And everybody around class will write down that Alan wants a new roommate. And then they'll affirm, Alan, I see a new roommate coming into your life. And when that happens with four or five or six or seven different people, then that's five, six, seven different affirmations of what it is that I desire. And then we go on to the next person who says they want to have peace and health, and we affirm peace and health for them, and goes around the room. So prayer is a very important and vital part of manifesting your abundance. Again, positive prayer, not negative prayer. Positive prayer will make it so for you.
And it seems important what you're saying, that it is, there's a connection. Prayer is a way of affirming, speaking, and have an agreement with somebody else. You know, like where two or three are gathered in my name. And also, I think the Course talks about that where two people gather together and share a same, a common goal, that's a connection that opens up possibilities to begin to manifest. So maybe we have somebody listening today, or will listen later on the download of this podcast, who's really in dire straits right now. Maybe they're just wondering how they're going to make their next rent or mortgage payment, or they just lost their job, or, you know, the things that happen to us in this world. How could we maybe give them some early first steps of what to do first?
First, make a list of how you want your life to be. Not how it is now, but how you want your life to be.
And it's important they write that down, not just go through it in
right.
their head.
It must be written down. And then make a treasure map. Make a treasure map, which is a pictorial representation of your life. And put it on a piece of poster board, and in the center of the poster board, put a representation of the divine, whether it's a picture of Jesus, a picture of Buddha, a picture of the Bible, a picture of Michelangelo's God. Make sure that in the center of your treasure map is something that represents a representation of the divine. And then around the treasure map, make a quadrant that says job. And in that, put images of how you want to be employed. And the next quadrant, put home. In that, put images of how you want your home to look. The next quadrant, put family. And in that, put how you want your family to be. And in the final quadrant, put a vacation picture, time off. And make a picture, put the picture of the Big Island of Hawaii. And that's been very effective. In fact, a very long-standing prosperity teacher by the name of Stretton Smith used to do that. He put a picture of a hotel in Waikiki Beach where he said he wanted to live. And he did that 6 months before he got a call saying, would you come to Hawaii and attend a meeting? So he went to Hawaii. And that evening after he got in, he sat down in a restaurant, looked up from the restaurant across a little inlet, and he saw a picture of, he saw the actual hotel that he made out of his picture. So doing a treasure map and making sure that it's out where you see it every day mm-hmm. will change your life to the positive way of thinking. Because again, what we're doing, we're praying 24/7. So pray from the images that you're putting in there. So make a list, check it twice, and then put a image together. And finally, affirmations.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Affirmations are those things that you make a positive statement about. And in the book, Prosperity Code, there are several different pages of affirmations. My favorite affirmation, which is the last one, is, I have a mustard seed and I'm not afraid to use it.
That's great. That's great. Yes, I know that old quote from the Bible about the mustard seed. All right, we're going to just take a little break here one more time, and then we're going to come back and finish our conversation today with Alan Batten. So we'll be back with you in just a moment. Our phone number.
We'll be back with more of today's program on science, sound, and spirituality after this word from Soma Energetics.
Soma Energetics is a series of sound therapy techniques developed by certified master sound therapy teacher David Hulse at the turn of the century, utilizing the power of the ancient frequencies via our custom-made solfeggio tuning forks. Soma Energetics offers training in live workshops or via DVD home study courses. Course materials include color solfeggio tuning forks in the form of energy tuners and body tuners, and they are available exclusively from Soma Energetics. At SomaEnergetics.com, you'll have the finest tools in energy healing and sound therapy at your fingertips. So take a moment to visit this very informative website and be sure and check out the combo packages for the best deals. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 980-949-8921. Remember, visit www.SomaEnergetics.com to experience the power of sound therapy.
Now back to today's program on science, sound, and spirituality with David Hulse.
And welcome back to Science, Sound, and Spirituality. Today we've been in a conversation on abundance and prosperity with author and teacher Alan Batten. We're coming to you live today from Charlotte, North Carolina. And of course, we will be available for download soon. Our number, if you're listening to us live, is 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from you. All right. Prosperity in abundance. I'm reminded of one quote that says, "I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health." And he also, the writer of that, also said, "Let us think upon those things which are good and those things which are of good report." And that seems to just emphasize what we're saying. Whether it's Bible or whether it's a self-help book or whether it's positive thinking seminar, it seems like there is a thread that all comes together.
Yes.
In this whole tapestry of abundance, and that is to change your point of view, your thinking, your
change,
but not just thought, but with feeling.
Change your thoughts and feelings, and you change your life.
Yeah, that's a great formula right there. Yeah. It's simple. It sounds simple.
And a famous teacher once told both of us that you are the point of power.
Yes, he did.
You are the point of power. Mm-hmm. You have choice. You have the opportunity to make or break your life. So take your power and go forth with it, because you are a powerful, powerful child of God. God gave you the power to move your life. And how you move it is up to you. It's not up to God. It's up to you. So when you manifest a change in your thoughts, you manifest a change in your life.
Period.
Period.
That's the bottom line, sort of, to the whole idea of it. Sometimes I think we have the cart before the horse, in the sense that I've noticed people, and maybe I've been guilty of it too, is like, I'm going to be a blessing and I'm going to give and I'm going to give when I'm blessed. I'm waiting for my blessing to come. Then I'm going to give and I'm going to support. And I don't know how many well-intentioned people are out there. And the sad part of that is people oftentimes who win the lottery or get it, forget about what they just said, because they're knocked out consciously by the power of receiving something like money or fame or something like that. So we have to stay conscious. Being prosperous is being mindful and being conscious. And I want to stress in the last part of today the importance of there is nothing too small and there's nothing too large. And when you talk about that, writing that check for $6 or something like that, that in the universe is just as powerful as somebody who could sit down and write a $10,000 check at the same time. The principle is not based upon the amount that you give. It's on the intent in which that you give. And you give because, one, you want to receive, but you also want to support. So when people ask me, where would I give offering? Where would I give my tithes? You know, I think for me, I'll let you comment on this too, but I think the answer is always where you are receiving some kind of spiritual food that is supporting you spiritually in your development.
What feeds you, whether it's a church or synagogue or school, what feeds your spirituality could even be a waitress, somebody who, over a cup of coffee, gave you something that said volumes to you and your spiritual growth. So what feeds you is what you give your spiritual nourishment to.
I agree. I mean, if you're an activist for something and you believe in that cause, then that's where you should support it. But I had this experience of just feeling sometimes having a compassion for somebody, like a waitress or something, and just feeling that not just tipping, but to give more to that. So it comes in many different forms of where you want to do it. The main thing is to make a commitment to do it and make sure it's coming totally from your heart. We have so enjoyed having you today. I thank you again. And again, Alan's book is The Prosperity Code by Alan Batten, B-A-T-T-N, and you can get this book on Amazon. So please get it. It's an easy, simple, but profound and powerful read that can change your life, and then you pass it to somebody else and tell them, and let's turn this around so that we can be a healthy, blessed, and prosperous people. Thank you, Alan, for being with us today.
Thank you, David.
And so we will see you next time on Sound Science and Spirituality.
This has been a presentation of Science, Sound, and Spirituality with Master Teacher David Holtz. For more information, visit us at www.lightwithin.com. We invite you to join us every week here on BBS Radio for this insightful program and the first and third Thursday of each month for a live program. Until then, this is your announcer, Deborah Fitch, reminding you that your life is a gift, but your journey is a choice. Thank you for choosing to spend a part of your journey with us.